Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom, family, and welcome to
another edition
of the Israelite Way of Life, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network here on Blog Talk Radio. It is my prayer that you are Baruch Atah, blessed on this day. Seeing that you've had 6 days of a work week, and we honor the Most High on the Shabbat, Haya Ashar. Hashem, Shia. We worship him on today as we keep the fourth commandment, which is to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy, our original day of worship. The scattered diaspora, the indigenous 12 tribes of Israel, the people, the remnant of the Most High, man has thought to change times and seasons, as when they began to synthesize paganism and Christianity and change our original day of worship to Sunday. It got you believing that a day you should probably be with your family or at the park or fellowshipping with your brethren. They've taken it away from us, that our original day of worship, where we were to rest and honor him and keep the Shabbat and the Sabbath holy, was on the seventh day, which is today. It was a time of rest. It was made for man, not made for the Sabbath. And it was our time to just hear the reading of the laws. Well, we would go to the synagogues to hear the reading of the laws, but we didn't labor. We didn't trade in man's society or system, which means not to purchase and buy and do various things such as that. I had some troubles with Blog Talk, not being able to get on because they've created a new screen, which is having problems with Skype. And very often than not, there's been times where we haven't been able to be heard. I was a little disappointed that we weren't able to come to you with some of our shows in the week. They were actually condensed by Blog Talk and audio taken out. But we still remain faithful to the task at hand and what the Most High has us to do. No matter what happens with this medium, we know the Most High is in control of all things. And we do press toward that mark, and we do press forward. Let's look to him in prayer. Our Abba, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in Shemayim. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us all of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all manner of evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So be it. Amen.
And now, Shabbat Shamayam, Kodash Hayashikam, Ahayam, Malakwan Mawura, Zamba Arapi Zamba, Hayashikam, Barapi Zamba. Kawahaya Bashamaya Lefela Nawa Lakam Kayawa Wawasalat Nawa Kawasalat Nawa Kasalat Nawa Kawasalat Nawa Wala Sambaya anawa Banasaya wan Abda Hawashinawa Mayari Kaya Yanawa Hamalakwa Wahaala Wahatapara
The water, Abba. Amen.
The water, Abba. It's a beautiful song by the sisters singing the Most High's prayer. All praises to the Most High. This is a day that he has created for us. The Wada Abba, for sure. The Wada Abba. And before we get into the lesson, we know that this, I don't really want to get into a lot of announcements. We don't cover news topics, our policies and political events on the Shabbat. As I said, we came together for the reading of the laws and to fellowship and to lift him up as we reflect on him and the beauty of his Kodesh. Being set apart and us being set apart. While the world is busy trying to get to the malls and get to the parties and do everything else, we stop, pause, and reflect. We have Selah moment on his goodness towards Israel for in keeping these commandments, and in doing so, we honor him and confess that he's in us and we're in him. You know, we like to take this first time to encourage you, but before we move into that, Social Change Action Network is actually trying to branch out once again. We're not a camp. This is a place of fellowship, and we always extend the opportunity or the offer for someone who wants to be a part of this network on some of the shows that we have available, such as right now, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are available, probably even on the first day of Sunday is available. For those who want to talk about health topics, this is a very important issue to me, but you have to be learned in the scriptures, the name of the Most High. But more importantly, if you've got some information that will empower our people, Israel, the indigenous, Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and so on, especially as it pertains to health. We welcome you. We help to provide that format, that platform, and we'll give you time to teach. A brother said that more people are dying going through drive-thrus than they are from drive-bys. I read that, and that's so true. One of the forefronts is that they're killing us. Cancer rates are soaring. Diabetes, lupus, everything that's designed to attack those that are melanated people. And the foods are poisoning us and taking us out. So it's very important that we inform our people because they're destroyed for lack of knowledge. So I put it out there to anyone. You can send us an email through this via this format right here, or you can reach me at 510-590-0909 and leave me your name and your number. I will get back to you as soon as possible where we can sit down and discuss. I'm Elder V, and we can discuss some possibilities of getting you out there. Also, we still want to keep the precepts going on Wednesdays, and of course, Straight No Chaser will continue, where we do actually get a chance to talk about current events, prophecies, politics, what's unfolding in front of your eyes, because it's a consciousness show. And when we talk about consciousness, we're not talking about like 70s pro-black. We're talking about not only can we be awake, but we must be aware of all the fronts and the tactics that are happening to us, because we don't want you destroyed for lack of knowledge. We want you to know so you can do something about it. And we want to teach you, as we're doing here on the Shabbat with the commandments, on how to be blessed and to slowly come up from under these curses and walk back into the blessings, to be in them. And be like, if you read in the book of John, in the first chapter, when it talked about Elizabeth and Zacharias, how they kept and they walked in all the commandments, all the ordinances, and they were blameless because they walked in them. And everything around you, including the Christian church, is telling you that it's impossible to keep the commandments of the Most High and that they're done away with, when that's not the case. Christ came to fulfill the commandments, not destroy the commandments or the words of the prophets. He came to fulfill it and redeem us from the curse of the law, to redeem us from the curse of the law. And when you begin to abide in these commandments and they abide inside of you, it sets you in a different place. That's what exactly sets us apart, which is why on the Shabbat, I applaud all my brothers, all you camps, and those of you who are not being heard or probably think you don't have a voice, I applaud you for blowing your trumpet, lifting up your voice like a trumpet in Zion, crying out loud against these commandments and sayings and these false prophets that are telling people that we're under grace and mercy. Yes, we do have grace and mercy, but not the type of grace and mercy where you do anything you want, eat whatever you want, live any kind of way you want. You're lawless, and we're not called to be lawless. If you don't have a law, what are you going to be judged on? People that don't have a king do whatever's right in their own heart, and we know the heart is wicked. It's deceitful. So I applaud everyone on this day that's out there in some form or another, preaching, teaching, singing about the words of the Most High as it pertains to the statutes, laws, and commandments, and keeping it going. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today, is the remnant. Who are the remnant? And that there's always been a remnant from the beginning of time that the Most High looks out for, that he's protecting. He will always have a remnant. This path is narrow. Path of destruction is broad. There'll be many that can walk in that one. But this narrow path of righteousness, it's so narrow, it's like walking in a door. Only one can walk in at a time. It's so narrow. It's not broad. In other words, we're not keeping up with the Joneses and doing what everybody else is doing, what everybody else is calling themselves, and what everybody else thinks is popular. We are true disciples who are disciplining ourselves through the washing of the word and understanding that what they call the Old Testament and the New Testament is seamless and flawless, and that we must keep every commandment that he's given us, just as the disciples kept the commandments. They couldn't keep their own epistles. They wrote to each other to encourage each other. And we take the time at the beginning of this show to encourage Zion, encourage Israel, because we know you need to be encouraged too. We know it gets rough out here, it gets tough out here, because there's temptation and destruction all around you. This earth has been turned over into the hands of the wicked, and their desire is to destroy your temple, to destroy your soul, destroy your faith and your belief, which is why when the Most High returns, and our brother Yeshua HaMashiach said, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? Can you persevere and stand strong, especially in a society that's teaching you to be effeminate, lackluster, lackadaisical, and believe in coincidence and have no strength? When the Most High has called you to be strong, prepared, ready to fight, to avenge and be a defender of the faith, through precepts and understanding of the laws and the commandments and what we must come back to. Now, he's done away with the curse of the law. You no longer have to die. And yes, he is our peace. He is our Passover. And righteousness is not in our works, but our faith and our love is in our keeping of the commandments. For he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Talking to a brother last week about sounding the shofar. And a lot of people thought that the shofar was only sounded in the time of war, but the shofar was something that was made Kodesh, sanctified, and stripped, and each shofar had a very distinct sound to the point of piercing. Even in 2 Chronicles 20 and 22, we read before they went into battle, they would summon the praise singers and the trumpet players and send them before the troops, before the war. And as they would sound off with their praises and blow their shofars, that the sound of the shofars was so distinct that it bothered most of the ears of them that were non-Kodesh. Because they would worship him in the beauty of his holiness, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and praise the Most High, he would set up ambush against our enemies. So this even takes me back to me applauding all the brothers and sisters and saints that are out there singing, preaching, and teaching. You are blowing your trumpet and your shofar. You're lifting up your voice like a trump in Zion, and you're declaring the works of the Most High. And the enemy doesn't like it, but it is actually dispersing and dispelling your enemy because you're standing. And after you've done all you can to stand, you got to stand anyway. Because even in your weakness is his strength made perfect. We'll be back with the lesson on the remnant when we return. All praises to the Most High.
Without a doubt, don't let them be zombies. President Mugabe holding guns to innocent bodies in Zimbabwe. They make John Pope seem godly. Sacrilegious and blasphemous. In my lifetime, I look back at paths I once wear. Savage sport, passive talk. Prostitutes stomping high heel boots. And bad scream at young black children. Stop or I will shoot. I look back and cook crack. Plus cars that pass by. Jaguars, jazz fly. And I'm guilty for materialism. Blacks are still up in the prison. Trust that. So save me your sorries. I'm raising an army. Revolutionary warfare with Damian Marley. Sparking the iron, marching the sign. You know how Nas be and why I see state of mind.
This world of calamity, dirty looks and touches and jealousy. And police where you abuse their majority. Media funds when I know about variety. Single parents that need some charity. You send me some love and prosperity. Instead of broken dreams and tragedy. By any problem, any means and strategy. Say, I got to keep on walking.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to the show. Shabbat Shalom. All praises to the Most High. Get ready to get into some of the commandments, and that's what we do on this Shabbat, as we keep it Kodesh. As you might know it, from Christian days, keep it holy. And holy means to be set apart, means to be Kodesh. I'm not so much caught into people condemning me or saying I'm using pagan names. I got to make it clear for those who may not know, may not understand. There's nothing that makes you more righteous because you're trying to learn Phoenician, phonetic Hebrew. We have to make sure we catch others up as they begin to come into this understanding. We got those that are on milk, those that are on meat. We have to find a happy medium. Whatever you're called to do, that's what you do. And you stand in that. His name is not Jah. It's not Yah. It's not Jehovah. We hear that in some of these songs, but we don't have a lot of music in the Hebrew culture, Israelite, but it's starting to happen. Brothers and sisters are starting to record, put our music out with the right names and get it out there. I know a lot of you, we still listen to some of the Christian music, but it's got the pagan names, and we try to look over and do what we can. But I encourage you and motivate you, if you're a musician, an artist, to begin, and you're in this knowledge of the truth, you begin to put this truth out there and let it be known so that people will understand the truth. Some people may not know. Let me expound about this name real quick. Kabbalism cannot exist without the Tetragrammaton, and that YHWH comes from the Tetragrammaton. And the Masonic Lodge cannot exist without YHWH because they use that. The Masonic Lodge is a place that has a lot of information that's been passed down through time from the fallen angels that was spoken of in the book of Enoch and the book of Jude. Technology and various arts and witchcraft. And all of this is hidden in the Tetragrammaton that was created by these Kabbalists, Khazarian, fake Jews of Revelations 2 and 9 and Revelations 3 and 9. The Tetragrammaton is the god of Kabbalism. So when you're using a name that comes from the Tetragrammaton, you're worshiping the god of Kabbalism. English-speaking Freemasons converted to YHWH. They changed it to Jehovah. And a lot of Christians are misguided because the scribes injected the word Jehovah. So you got people calling on false gods, but confess this is Yabalon. It's the same thing as Yabalon, because you have to remember the letter J came about around 1524. So Christ did not call himself Jesus nor the disciples, because the letter J didn't even exist. When you look up my Savior, you look up Ishi, you get husband, you get Yesha. And when we say HaMashiach, we say the Christ. Some say Yeshaya or Yesha, but it's not Yahushua, that would be Joshua. So Masons wear this symbol, YHWH, which is why we don't see it. And we're going to come together and understand that. The YHWH on these Masons' aprons also forms the all-seeing eye. So it all began when the Jews came back from Babylon, and they schooled themselves in dark mysticism of the Chaldean mysteries. A lot of this stuff is being imputed on our kids today with witchcraft, Kabbalism, Harry Potter. And this is the origin of the oral law containing secret knowledge passed from mouth to ear. And know that a lot of you Black Masons are not even getting the truth, because they don't want you to know that they found out who the real Israelites are, and that they were the people of color, and that the sons of Jacob were Black men. It's a shame that a lot of these Christian churches, and I'm going to get into this, the commandments in a second, but that's why there's so much softness, and that's why there's no men coming to no Christian church, because you got people sitting in there imagining and envisioning this white European Caesar Borgia dude with long stringy hair and blue eyes as they cry and worship and say, oh, thank you, thank you. This is prime idolatry on an day of idolatry, day of sun worship. The original intent and idea for Sunday to be a day of sun worship inside of a pagan temple, when the Most High said, I do not dwell in temples made by hand or by man. He said he lives in our heart, which is why the veil of the temple was ripped when Yesha HaMashiach died on a tree, was hung from a tree, just like our other forefathers and descendants were hung from willow trees, strange fruit. Because scripture said, cursed is every man that hangeth from a tree. So he took on the curses and then destroyed the curse of the law. It's a shame how Babylonian practices and paganism, entire foundation, structure, substratum of the Christian church is steeped and based in paganism, which is why it's easily destroyed in people's faith, the weak. There's so much talk of grace and mercy in Christian church because people do not find a true way of deliverance, salvation, freedom, when they are inside these religious worships and practices. What transforms you is when you begin to adhere to what was given to you to cause you to be set apart, which are the statutes, laws, and commandments. Now, these were also, this Kabbalist stuff, these were also referred to as the traditions of the elders. And we see them in Ezekiel 8 through 14, in their secret lodge place. These had already interpolated YHWH into their religious tradition and into their scrolls as the God and Lord over all Israelites. And with these kind of men now in Babylon, they adopted the Chaldean mystery religion and incorporated it into Judaism. See, we don't follow Judaism. We're not going around here calling ourselves Jews. That was short for Judah. And we have 12 tribes. So here they are calling themselves a short term for just one tribe. This is the deception the mystic Pharisees and the cult priests brought to Jerusalem. We get Ahaya from the Hebrew, which the Most High, not through one person, began to reveal to a lot of us when we begin to understand that he told Musa, when he asked, who shall I say sent me? It's I am that I am. And if you knew anything about the Strong's Concordance in Hebrew, you would easily have found and seen and learned that I am is Ahaya Ashar Ahaya. That is exactly what that means. And I've always been amazed at that scripture, I am, because immediately that tells me that I cannot fathom that he is everything around me that I see or that I need or that I can envision. In any way, other words, he's saying that you can't even begin to conceive of who I am and what I am, or relegate me to one aspect of life. It's like whatever you can even think of, I'm that. Everything. He's even created the evil and the wicked for the day of destruction. The Most High did that. He's even created certain men who are fitted for destruction, who will not be going to the kingdom, but they serve a purpose. These are things that you have to, like, lose your mind process to even begin to understand that you'll never get it. You just have to walk by faith, trust him, love him, and believe him by adhering to his commandments and what he's given us. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. When you think about that, so the I am is so encompassing, it's so expansive. There's just no way of being able to grasp how big, how large, who the Most High, Ahaya, really is. But he reveals himself and breaks himself down into little bite-sized pieces so that we can get a glimpse with the hopes that as being man with a free conscience and a will, we will gravitate towards him because he gave us a free will. And our hunger and thirst and desire for him will draw us closer to him, which should make you want to keep his commandments and not find out how much you don't have to do to get close to him, but how much more can you do to get close to him. As our brother Moses, Musa, said, show me your glory, and wanted more of him. As Enoch walked with him so much so that he was no more, that he walked so close with him that he was translated. That's the kind of faith that we're going to have in this hour through keeping the commandments. So if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This is exactly what he said in scripture. 1 John 4:11 also tells us that sin is transgression of the law. And we are trying not to walk in sin and live in sin on the day that's set aside and set apart. Set aside and set apart. All praises to Ahaya, Bahashem Yeshah HaMashiach. We give him all praises. There are over 613 laws. Can we learn them all in one day and keep them all? That's where our grace and mercy comes in. But our desire to want to do so and learn of them is what propels us. And perpetually we grow into being Kodesh by wanting to change every aspect of our lives and keep them, because we're in a world that's telling us we don't have to do any of that and imputing everything on us, getting everybody to get tattoos, everybody to eat more and more pork, putting pork in food, and we don't even know it's in the food. When he told us that it's unclean and to stay away from it and not to eat it and not to tattoo your body and etch your skin, for your body is the temple of the Most High. And for us to be a nation that sets a precedent. Now, the 613 laws have been summed up into 10, which is do not worship any other gods. Number one. Number two, do not make any idols. That means don't even wear those crosses on your neck. You know, it also means not to put something up and have everyone worshiping it. You know, it's almost a shame to put a large screen TV on your wall and have your whole family sit in front of it and get programmed by Gentiles telling you a vision of the way the world is and creating thoughts and visions inside your head to create an alter reality from you so that you can't see what's actually happening around us in the times and seasons we live in. There's so many things that we put before the Most High in idolatry when we begin to lust after everything in this world and the material things and the physical aspects of this world. Number three, it says, do not misuse the name of God, but the name Ahaya. Now, see, when you look at the commandments and laws, we were told that if we were unclean, we were not to be saying his name. If we were not Kodesh. And there were many things that can make us unclean. Adultery. Touching the unclean things of this world, going into the temple drunk, the women at a certain time of month when they were doing things. We were not to just blaspheme the name and use it any kind of way, which is one of the reasons why they injected the name, because they didn't want us to know the real name. And then they also used the excuse that we didn't deserve to know the real name. Number four, to keep the Sabbath day holy, which is to keep it Kodesh, keep it set apart, honor it. Sanctify it, worship him, meditate on him, not to do your own thing. all up in the movies and the malls and shopping and hanging out with the Gentiles and the sinners and kicking it like, oh, yeah, this is my day off. No, this is your day to honor and worship the Most High. That's what this day is. Not on Constantine's pagan Sunday in his pagan temple made by hand with a pagan cross on it, which is a symbol that was created, especially used in the Roman Catholic Crusades when they were going around killing people to get them to convert into that Roman Catholicism, Christianity, and the things that they forced slaves during slavery to begin to worship and bow down and worship. We wasn't worshiping no cross when we came over here during the slave trade. We had a working knowledge of who the Most High was and what our responsibility was and how we were to worship him on the Shabbat and the Sabbath, which is one. Number five, to honor your father and mother. We don't put our folks in old folks' homes and rest homes, and we don't step down on them. We are told to esteem them and honor them and give them the reverence that's deserved, because this is a perpetual process. This is ongoing. And this is why we live in an era where kids have no respect for their parents, and the older folks bring themselves down to low esteem to try and be like the younger. It kind of speaks for itself. Number six, do not murder, do not kill. I had to pause there because black on black crime is so prevalent, because we've been taught to hate each other as we are under the curses of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. We despise one another. And when someone comes and speaks to you this type of truth, you do not even want to hear it, which is why brothers are setting their faces like flint. They're not walking around here like homosexuals, effeminate. They're not buying Proposition 8. They're not buying, closing their eyes and worshiping an effeminate white Caesar Borgia-looking Jesus. Who's that? What is that? You look up and do a breakdown and definition on those words, J and Seus and Isus and Isus, and see that they've got this whole world deceived in worshiping a false god, as was spoken of in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, when Satan said, I shall be like the Most High. I shall be worshipped. He had a 5-point plan he laid out, and we're living in that time right now, where he's being worshipped on Sundays in all of these temples. Temples where homosexuals go to church and feel very comfortable, and where all types of sin is so pervasive, and nobody's life is being transformed or changed, and nobody's being turned back to the law, statutes, and commandments. Number seven, don't commit adultery. This entire society pushes adultery, extramarital affairs, cheating, do what thy will, YOLO, you only live once. Everything is being imputed on you to get you to defame and break these commandments and these laws. They want to make sure that there's no faith in the earth, and that when the Most High comes back, he'll destroy everyone, because they know they're going down and they want everyone to go with them, because misery loves company. Do not steal. Everyone's trying to get over and get ahead by taking something that doesn't belong to them. And it's become so commonplace with stealing and the next one, which is lying. It's called a little white lie. And everybody doesn't understand that when you lie, you are of your father, Satan, the father of all lies, the father of it. You jump on his team and into his family the moment you tell your little white lie that you thought was innocent. Truth is of the Most High. Truth can be a scary thing to most people, but truth puts you in a light that sets you apart, actually scares the enemy and scares people and makes them uncomfortable when you come correct with the truth. But in doing so, you set your soul free and maybe somebody else's in the process. Do not covet. We don't go around the malls and go window shopping. Do not want what other people have. We don't do that. We find ourselves content with clothes, food, and raiment that the Most High has given us. And I just wanted to go over the consolidation of the 10, because if I can't get you to get to the 613 yet, which we do talk about if you go into the archives, because it's good to break, use the 613 to help break down and understand the 10, that these laws are our culture. That's what we're doing. We're not trying to become righteous, because the scripture said our righteousness is as filthy rags. We become self-righteous and we become arrogant. But what we're doing is coming back to our culture, which defines us, because we're a lost people. Psalms 83. Read Psalms 83. They sought to wipe us out. We don't know who we are, where we come from. We're not Africans. We're coming back to our culture. And as you begin to understand these laws, you see that this is us, why it was given to us. I mean, the only reason he's telling you not to eat the unclean food, such as catfish, shrimp, crabs, and pigs. Look at how sick we are as a nation from having tried to survive on that for years. High blood pressure. Then we resort to their pharmaceuticals that are loaded with side effects that give us other ailments and sicknesses and diseases and shorten our lifespan. Fried catfish and all this stuff. It's making us an unhealthy people because they sought to weaken us because we were a strong nation. And it's because we're under the curses. I don't blame anybody. But we're under the curses for not having kept the commandments and staying within our culture that was handed to us, the way we're supposed to walk, the way we're supposed to live. And that's what we're coming back to. In doing so, you find health, you find freedom, you find understanding, you find purpose, you find strength, you become resolute, you become faithful. And you're honoring the Most High in doing so. So let us come back to the statutes, the laws, the commandments, and the ordinances. Revelations 12, 17. Listen to this. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. A dragon being Satan, people. And the woman being the children of Israel, as was referred to in the Old Testament, that the 12 tribes were referred to as the woman. Let me finish reading. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach, who you call Jesus the Christ. In the last times and in the end times, the enemy, the dragon, is going to seek to make war with those who are keeping the commandments, because those who are keeping the commandments have come into a knowledge of what gives us strength and keeps a hedge around us. Same hedge that Job had around him comes through keeping these commandments. We're going to look at just a few precepts, but when we talk about commandments, we're talking about the laws and ordinances. But when we talk about why those who keep the commandments are part of the remnant, when we look at the word remnant, we have to realize in Strong's Hebrew, that's shirith. That's Hebrew number 7611. And this word remnant occurs in the scriptures amazingly 66 times, which is the number of man, but it's only 66 times. And it's the part of speech, which is a noun. It's feminine. And the transliteration is shirith, but in the phonetic spelling, it's she-a-reith. And so the short definition of that is the remnant. And it's a very interesting word. Its origin actually comes from shar. So when you talk about the definition, you're talking about those who have rest or those who are remaining. And when we look at the book of Revelations, we're talking about those who are remaining in the final aspect of the Most High's purpose here. There's only going to be a third of us that make it, that'll come through, because many will take the mark of the beast and will lay down and give in at this time and not have faith, because a lot of people's faith is going to be weakened by all of the things I just talked about and just mentioned as it pertains to this life and this world. As they begin to worship the beast, you think about the fact that you not being able to buy or sell, and you becoming weak because, you know, your children are looking at you saying, what are we going to eat and what are we going to do? And if your faith is low, you're not going to believe that the Most High is going to provide for you as he did for the children of Israel when he rained down manna, which is angels' food, rained down quail, and provided water from the rocks. Are you at the point where your faith is strong enough to know that your provision doesn't come from your 9 to 5? Are from you walking to the store, but it's actually through his provision that he's allowing it. If your faith is not there, I'm not condemning you, but this is where your faith is going to have to be in this final time. Sorrows, the beginning of sorrows and woes, and Jacob's trouble, which is upon us. The entire stage has been set for this war that I just talked about. But will you be in the remnant? Are you a part of the seed that is keeping the commandments of the Most High that will be able to sustain itself? Back in Genesis 45 and 7, even there's always been a remnant. There's always been a seed. And I think about Joseph, how everything that Satan meant for evil, the Most High turned into good. And we realize that even with Joseph's brothers selling him and giving him up over to the Pharaoh, in that there was a purpose that the Most High could sustain a few in order to bring his seed out. And Joseph said, "And the Highest sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but Ahiah, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. As he's done before, he'll do again. There will be a great deliverance of the scattered tribes of Israel, the diaspora, as there will be a great deliverance from everywhere we've been scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. And he's calling for people to be able to be used in certain aspects throughout the four corners that will solidify and be used. This is why there's a war against certain people as they've collected your DNA and they know who are the true children of Israel. They're trying to destroy you and kill you and kill your faith because of the what will rise up in you in this final hour. And brothers and sisters, the Most High needs his remnant. Because his remnant will be the ones that when they see Christ return, they shall be transformed. For we shall see him as he is, and we shall be changed. We shall be just like him, and we will be fighting at that hour back in the physical realm. Now, right now, our fight is spiritual. Everything we do right now is on a spiritual basis. Everything we do right now is on a spiritual basis. But know this, even though it's on a spiritual basis, a real soldier has the mentality of a soldier and warrior and knows when it's time to take up arms and go to battle, they'll be ready and they'll have the heart to do so for having the understanding of these commandments and who the Most High is. But when he comes back, don't get it twisted. It's going to be a man of war. It's not going to be nothing nice. I've said this over and over and over again, that the Christian church that you've been taught about has you thinking he's going to come back with a harp and some sandals and skipping through the daisies and bringing all this peace, love, and joy. The Most High is a God of war, a higher war. Christ coming back with his vesture shall be dipped in blood because of all the bloodshed that there has been and the destruction that is happening to our people that you can't see through your rose-colored glasses right now because you think of every day is a day in Disneyland because you seek joy, peace, fun, and happiness every day to appease yourself and deal with your anxiety that's been imputed upon you through all the stress in the earth and stress in the land, which is why even more so you need a Sabbath and Shabbat to restore your soul and your spirit when you see the truth of what's happening around you in this land. So even as we were delivered from that captivity, we are in our final captivity as we are in the daughter of Babylon in the Americas. The Americas that were spoken of, even in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th, it talks about a strange land with a strange tongue that we'd be delivered into their hands. We're in this final captivity, and he's beginning to extract his remnant from out of the four corners of the earth in our final captivity. America has effect on the entire world as they control the United Nations. And we walk into other countries in the name of democracy, which is a lie, to actually go in and destroy and kill and to take over. But this show is not designed to really talk about that. We do that on another time. Let's stick with these commandments. Let's take a quick look at Jeremiah 44, 8 and 9 as we talk about this remnant and keeping these commandments and the importance. Jeremiah 44, 8 through 9. in that ye provoked me unto wrath with the works of your hands. This is what happened when they were in Egypt after Joseph, with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt. This is what we did, what we're doing today. Whether ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers and the wickedness of the kings of Judah and the wickedness of their wives and your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled even unto this day. Neither have they feared nor walked in my law nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. Therefore, thus said the Most High of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah, and I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall be consumed. Even this talks about what happened during that time, but you have to remember that it's out of fear. If you love me, if you fear me, you keep his commandments. Scripture tells us that. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Most High. He loves them that do so. This is what cut them off. They had no fear, meaning they had no reverence, no respect for what he had given them. And this is what got them thrown out of the land, and they begin to worship other gods. And this is what we're out here doing now, worshiping other gods of wood and stone. It's in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. We're caught up into everything every other race and nation is doing. I talked about this yoga that's demonic. I talked about this these other practices that we get into, Kabbalah, following Zodiac, following other forms of witchcraft. We are in every religion that has been created to keep us from the Most High. We're involved with. Now, apparently, the group of Hebrews who had fled to Egypt were still involved in idolatry. These people somehow thought that their well-being depended upon the worship of the Queen of Heaven. And you can find that in Jeremiah 44, 17 through 18, and Amos 4, 4 through 11. Only the reality of 70 years in exile finally cured Israel of its idolatry. Israel had problems with legalism and Phariseeism, and after the exile, but never again did idolatry become so prevalent. Most High is so against idolatry. Let me go back to Revelations where we started. I want you to take a look at some Revelations 14 and 12. Keeping the commandments will keep you away from idol worship and being consumed praying to other fallen entities. Who are these other gods that people are praying to? They are the fallen angels. It's the fallen gods that all these other countries and presidents and political leaders worship. Demonic possession is on the rise. Society has all out effort to transform man's DNA, his disposition, his soul and spirit, and recreate us. And this is all around you and being, they're doing this from every possible level you can even think of as it pertains to poisoning your minds, your body, your soul and spirit, metal poisoning, chemtrails, the food you eat, the water you drink, the programming. Thinking that they've isolated the so-called God gene and genetically manipulating you. Got to wake up, people. Revelations 14 and 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of the Most High and the faith of Yeshua HaMashiach. And this particular scripture is talking about Christ and his people and those that stand fast in this hour. And the 11th verse talks about how the ones that don't bow down to the beast and worship the beast and take the mark. There are many possibilities for the mark of the beast. There are even tattoos now that are able to have the mark and be put inside of your body. It goes beyond it goes beyond the possibilities of a chip being installed in you. They're getting you very used to tattoos, are consuming things, are taking pills, or they're getting you used to every possibility that they may utilize to put a mark on your forehead or a mark on your right hand and get you to worship the beast. Many people don't understand that there are two personalities mentioned in Revelation 13. The first is the Antichrist that you find in Revelation 13, 1 through 10. He'll be a political ruler of the world, and he'll bring in a false sense of peace. Almost sounds almost pretty much what we're getting ready to go through and what's happening. Christ warned his disciples of the deceiver in John 5, 43. The Most High said, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. And if another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. You can see notes on that in Daniel 7, 7 and 8, Daniel 9, 24 through 27, and 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 9, which deal all with the Antichrist. Now, there's a second beast that's talked about in Revelations 13, 11 through 18. And this beast will become the religious leader of the day and will be worshipped. Those people that receive the mark of the beast on their right hand and on their forehead will be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 14, 9 through 11 tells us that. But there's a remnant, once again, that will overcome this time. And that those are they that will keep the commandments. Now, who are the saints? The remnant are the saints. And scripture tells us in Psalms 148 and 14 who the saints are. Let me read it for you real quick. Saints aren't those people that when the saints go marching in on Sunday morning. No, they got it twisted. The saints are 148 and 14, Psalms. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Most High. So the saints are the children of Israel, and that will be the remnant, the seed. And those who are of Israel that are near to him are those that are Kodesh and set apart. And what makes you Kodesh and set apart are those that love him, fear him, and keep his commandments. Those that keep his commandments, as 1 John makes clear about the one that keeps his commandments. Let me read that to you as well. Give me 1 second to turn there. 1 John 3 and 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. There it is, right there. Getting on clear. Brothers and sisters, I don't like to over labor a point, just to basically give you the truth on the commandments and things for you to meditate and think about as you study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. I'm not ashamed about keeping this Shabbat, not participating in these malls and stores and events, keeping this day holy. And even if you should walk up into one of these pagan Christian churches, which most of us stay away from, some of you are called to go pull people out. You let them know, no. I worship yesterday. I keep the Sabbath, the Shabbat. Some of you are being called to go up in there and start telling the truth and pulling people out and letting them know what's really going on. And I bid you Godspeed. I don't know what your call is, but what I'm saying is please study. Come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments, and don't be ashamed of it. Stand firm and keep the faith. He wants to know, will he find faith in the earth when he returns? So I'm Elder V. You've been listening to the Israelite Way of Life. And I pray that you continue to have a blessed Shabbat and tell you, as we always say here, that the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. Why is that? Because truth is a journey and not a destination. Kwam Yasharala. Let's rise, Israel. Let's rise. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning. I'm gonna chase you out of earth. Hawaiian shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on a iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space.
I got